Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of whatever you're drinking. I stole some of my wife's coffee creamer today. Just a touch makes it better this morning. Oh, I don't think I wanted to have the bold bitterness of coffee this morning. I needed something tempered a little bit. I don't know if you have to temper things as well, but oh well. Well, today is Monday, the 23rd of October, 2023. We're almost to the end of the month. I hope it's been a good month for you. We have been trying to take full advantage of the decent weather we've been having. October is usually a very wet month, and there's so many things that I can't get to in my here on the farm, because once it gets to October, it's like you're just out of luck. You're going to have rain, and there's some things that still didn't get to, but we have been frantically trying to get stuff done. One of the things yesterday, my son Andy came over and we split a bunch of firewood. We have a outdoor wood burning stove that this is our first season using. And so we're trying to get some seasoned wood that was cut in the summer split so that we can have that available. And we did a fair amount of work, and it was fast work. It didn't feel like that much time had passed, but all of a sudden we looked at our watches, and well, not watches, we looked at our phones, because no one wears watches. And it was like after 11 o'clock, it's like, wow, how did this go so fast? But it did. So anyway, later this week, I think it's Wednesday, we're supposed to start, and according to WeatherBug, we're going to have the possibility of rain for like 7 days in a row. Now, not all of it is high percentage chance, and who knows, it could be just a little shower that comes over, but I think we're just going to have some yucky days, although it's supposed to be warm, so we'll try to do as much as we can on those days. Oh, let's see. I don't know if anybody saw the meteor shower last night. We had some clouds, so that didn't work really well. And frankly, we were both tired from work during the day, and didn't venture out too hard to see the meteor shower. We do enjoy them. This one wasn't expected to be a very big one, only like 10 an hour. I like when you got a meteor storm and you just sit there and you can just watch, you know, almost every 5 seconds there's a shooting star you can spot. I remember one of those, holy cow, how long would it have been? Oh, probably 23, 24 years ago. And it was just, it was mind-boggling. We were all up the farm and just, it was just constant. Those are fun. Those are a lot of fun. But I hope you had a good weekend. I did also get a phone call from one of the super fans of the podcast. Curtis called up, and so a shout out to him. He had not listened for a little while, and told me how he sat and he binged all the recent podcasts, and so he called up and said he needed to talk to Larry live, not just listening to me on the podcast. So big shout out to you, Curtis, and thanks for the call, because it was a lot of fun. He's a guy I need to get on the podcast. He's had a real amazing life history and experiences, and he's a good storyteller too. So Curtis, I'm planting a seed. I want to have you on the podcast. Well, today is one, our topic for today, I've been kind of working on. I've touched base on this in the past, but I really wanted to dig into it more. Because what I'm seeing, what I've seen over the course of my career, is a lot of times people, what's the word I'm trying to find here? There's a lack of happiness. There's a lack of joyfulness. There's an increase in distress. And sometimes that's because of just personal crap that we find ourselves going through. Different stresses, potential for bad things happening. And I'm seeing more of it just in my interaction with people because of the circumstances that are happening in the world today. You know, people are recognizing, or, you know, some people are just doing their best to ignore it. And I think that's kind of a reaction so they don't have the negative thoughts or feelings. But, you know, we've got this whole war thing going on in Ukraine, and there, it seems like that's just going to, there's just a working up for, let's get troops in there. Let's turn that into a hot war for us with boots on the ground. They look at, you know, what's taking place in Israel, between Israel and Gaza. And Hamas, and they see that we've moved two aircraft carrier groups offshore, and all the different protests that have been taking place in recent days throughout the Arab world, and that could turn into a very explosive war that could drag us into it. And then you have the looming specter of China and Taiwan that's taking place. And so there's just a variety of different things that I think robs us of feeling good. And sometimes we just will have a tendency, well, if I just don't think about the bad, if I just ignore the bad, then I'll feel better. And I don't know if it really works that way, but I'm saying all that to lead to a specific word. And that word is joy. It is joy. And I guess you could add to it, it's variations in the English language, such as joyful or to be joyful. But what is joy? I find a lot of people use it, you know, back and forth with happiness, you know, where they see it as being the same thing. And I guess there was probably a time when I just kind of used the words interchangeably, but I really don't anymore, because I've grown to see and recognize and appreciate the difference between joy and happiness. And the more I think about joy, it's kind of like a rabbit hole. It takes you deeper and deeper, more so than with happiness. Happiness is more shallow. It's a shallower term. It's a more superficial term. And so I thought I would just kind of share a little bit on that, and then take you on a little bit of a deep dive on gosh, I'm stumbling my words. Let me get another sip of coffee. That'll help. Yes. But take you on a little bit of a deeper dive, because if you find yourself having a hard time experiencing joy, well, there's some things that we can learn about it and its source and what we can do. So let's take a look at quick definitions. Now, this, I just did a quick Google search, and the little definitions for happiness, or happy, is feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. And the definition they give for joy, that Google does, is feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So they're looking at it as, you feel good, you feel a sense of pleasure, and if you feel joy, it's just with a bunch of exclamation points after it. It's happiness on steroids. Well, that seems a little too simple. And so I found some other definitions, and this one, it was kind of a comparison between joy and happiness. So I wanted to share this one with you. Joy is caused by elation at a moment in time. Joy may not always be about oneself, but be about others' contentment also. Okay. And that makes sense. Your children may make you happy when they do good things and stuff like that because it's affecting you. But when you see your children being happy or playing or reaching some sort of goal, maybe it's sports or in academics, you can feel joy watching them be happy. So joy is caused by elation at a moment in time. Joy may not always be about oneself, but be about others' contentment also. Okay. Happiness is about the self's pleasure. Happiness may dwell on materialistic, worldly pleasure, while joy is derived from soul-satisfying emotional well-being. So I kind of like that definition in many ways. Happiness can be fleeting. Happiness is often temporary. Something makes us happy. Oh, that makes me happy. Something good happened. Oh, and you can point your finger and touch whatever it is, that's making you happy. I got a raise. That made me happy. I got a coupon for an oil change that I was needing to get, and it's going to save me 50%. Yeah, that would make me happy. But joyful, it's more soul satisfying. It's at a deeper level. It's emotional well-being. You can use money to buy happiness, to buy things or do things that makes you happy. But have you ever met people who are experiencing happiness but really don't have joyfulness? See what I mean? There's a difference there, isn't there? I found another one in looking at the thing that Google said. What is the true meaning of joy? And its first thing was a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And then it said, the true definition of joy goes beyond the limited explanation presented in a definition, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. True joy is a limitless, self-defining, transformative reservoir waiting to be tapped into. It requires the utmost surrender, and like love, is a choice to be made. That's a deeper definition, and I kind of like that even more. One of the ways that I've described joy in the past is joy is like a bubbling spring. It bubbles up in you. It comes from somewhere inside, from something inside. Where happiness is basically always external. So, I dug into the Bible. I've got the Bible software Logos. Bought it years and years ago. And if any of you want to do really in-depth Bible studies, it's an incredible platform for doing that. There was an interesting thing that I found there that was regarding the English Standard Version of the Bible, the ESV. And it says, in the English Standard Version of the Bible, the words joy, rejoice, or joyful, all variations of joy, appear a total of 430 times. Compared with happy or happiness, which appears only 10 times. And they are different words when you go back to the Greek, and I don't have a good lexicon for translating Hebrew, but you know, when you look at the Greek, it is, it's two totally different words. But it's interesting that happiness appears only 10 times, but joy and its variations 430 times. Then it continues on. Joy is lasting, and it satisfies the heart in a unique and marvelous way. Joy is characteristic of God's people found in His presence. And that's one of the things that you do find when you're looking up and finding how joy is used in the Bible, is when people are in the presence of God, that there is joy. There is joyfulness present. Now, if you also look at the word joy in reference to the Bible, joy, a fruit of the Spirit, comforting, content, and full of peace, an enduring attitude of the heart and spirit, and a natural part of the Christian faith. It's often connected with, but not limited to, following Jesus and pursuing a Christian life. I think a key thing here to, or two key things to look at, is joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I believe there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, which when you have the Holy Spirit actively living and working in your life, one of the signs is you have joy. It's not per se happiness, it's joy. And the other is where it says, it's often connected with, but not limited to, following Jesus and pursuing a Christian life. Not all Christians are joyful. And I think that it's because not all Christians are actively pursuing the Christian walk. They're not actively pursuing living in the kingdom of God as Jesus told us to do, and as the Holy Spirit empowers us to do in this life here on the planet. It's interesting when you dig into this word. And one of the things that jumps out to me on a very regular basis whenever I think about joy is a little song that I learned when I was in preschool Sunday school classes. And you may have done that also if you went to church as a little kid. And it's, I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And you know, it's funny how that song pops into my head. I'll sing it in my head, or maybe I'll sing it out loud while I'm on the mower. And boy, I can't help but smile. There's like this change inside of me. And of course, many of you are also thinking about like the next verse. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. Ow, sit on a tack. Okay, we'll stop. I guess for little bitty kids, the idea of sitting on a tack, that's pretty painful. That'd be a oh. So this is not as far as I wanted to get. So, but I'm hitting the limit on how much I can record at one time. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have a little pause, and then I'm going to flip over to a couple of sections out of the Bible that I wanted to share with you, and then we'll wrap up. So we're going to stop for a second, and then we'll be right back. Okay, let's continue on. And there's a couple of sections of the Bible I just wanted to read to you. And they're a little bit longer, but what I want you to do is, I'm not just wanting to pull out a verse that says joy. I want to put it into context as far as what is it that you know, the Bible is saying as far as joy being the product, the result of a process. A process of pursuing Christ. So this first one is from the book of John, chapter 15. And I'm doing verses 1 through 17. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's kind of dig into what Jesus is saying here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the point that Jesus is talking here, and he's using the analogy that everybody at that time knew, because growing grapes was a very, very common thing in Israel at that time. And he's using the example that with grapes, and you know, if you have a grape harbor, we have a grape harbor here on the farm. You have the vine, which is really thick, especially the older it gets. It's very, very thick. And in the spring, there will be little buds that come out. And those little buds make branches. And it's on those branches where the leaves grow and where the fruit forms. Now, if you cut those off, a branch cannot survive on its own. It will die. It will stop producing. It has to be attached to the vine. Just like on a tree, an apple tree. You can't just cut off a branch and expect it to continue to produce apples. So, going to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, is he saying we're just sitting there dead on a log or something? No, but he's talking about what we can do as far as with God's will and God's purpose, his designed purpose for us in our lives. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So let's pause for a moment on this. Does that mean that, you know, it's like Jesus is the genie in a bottle? No. What he's saying here is, if you remain in me, if you are connected in me, not just believing, but if you remain in me, if you are tapped into and pursuing the will of Jesus, and Jesus is in you, then what happens? Whatever you're going to wish for, whatever you're going to hope for, whatever you want to have happen, is going to be influenced, given to you by Jesus, by God. So whatever you're wishing for is God's will. And if we ask for God's will to be done, You know, like if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we're asking for God's will to be done, is God going to answer that prayer? Well, of course he will, because it's his will. It's what he's wanting done. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So all this is to bring glory to the Father. And he will bless you with much fruit, because again, you're working with his will. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remains in his love. So he's drawing a connection there. You see, it's kind of like the vine thing. He is, you know, you have the Father and Jesus is connected, and we are to be connected to Jesus. Let's see, where am I at? Okay. I have told you this so that my joy, hear that word? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, this ties into the idea that joy is something that is a gift from God when we are connected with, when we are pursuing a life that is tied into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when it's tied into God, and God makes it complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See the kind of relationship that God's wanting to have with us? Not where we have to do what he says or he's going to crack his whip on us. He wants to be friends. It's kind of like that one old hymn, what a friend I have in Jesus. Jesus set up that the idea of that relationship, not as a servant. We're not to be servants of God. We're to be friends of God, and Jesus is making that possible. What, and now let me just pause and say, how do you feel when you have that kind of an ongoing relationship? Is it temporary happiness, or is that joy? And as Jesus said earlier, completed joy. It's joy that that your joy may be complete. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And where does the fruit come? It's from the branch being attached to the vine. Then the Father will give you what you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. See, people aren't necessarily easy to love, because a lot of times we connect happiness with love. And relationships with people don't always make us happy. But if we have the joy of God, the joy that he has made complete in us, then loving each other as God loves us takes on a whole different meaning, a whole different approach, a whole different experience. The next part I wanted to share with you, this is from the letter to the Galatians that Paul wrote. And it's chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. So Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. You see, here, where he's talking about the Spirit, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised them that while he was going away to be with the Father, that he was sending a comforter, a counselor. He was sending the Holy Spirit to be with us and to dwell in us. So it's interesting here, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. You see, we can either try to do the will of God by wrestling in our flesh and trying to do good, which we keep failing, or if we are drawn and tapped into and infilled with God, with the Holy Spirit, then it becomes a whole lot easier. We're not driven by the fear of punishment. We're driven by the love of God and the joy that he gives us. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I decided to look up a couple of those words because I don't use them in regular language. Debauchery. I can't think of any time I have ever used that one in conversation. What it is excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Whatever makes your senses feel good. Excessive indulgence in that is debauchery. Discord. That's a lack of harmony. Quarreling, antagonism. Have you been in relationships where there was just discord? There was no harmony. It was just quarreling and griping. Dissension is a disagreement that leads to discord. And factions is a state of conflict inside or within an organization. That is basically, when you look at discord, dissension, and factions, they all tie in together. It's when people can't get along that should be getting along. And those are the acts of sinful nature. And then Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not per se that those are sins that God can't forgive. But where do they lead? Do those things that are listed, do they lead to God or do they lead people away from God? But let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what, you know, going back to the vine and the branch and the grapes, the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Wait, did I say that word joy? You bet I did. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are the things that we want to see in the character of other people. There's no law saying, oh, you can't be patient or you can't, you know, be kind. You know, no, there's no law against that. This is what's wanted. And these come as a fruit, as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Instead, we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. You see, joy is a part of a process. Happiness, just something that makes us feel good. And it can be good or it can be bad. But joyfulness, experiencing that sense of joy, that's something deeper. And so what I'm going to challenge each of you to do is to spend some time thinking about and in prayer about joy. Because when we experience the kind of joy that's talked about here, it's definitely something worth pursuing. Because as the world seems to be crashing around us in many different ways, we are not held captive by it. We do not have to fall into despair. Because when we are tied in as a branch to the vine of God, we can have joy in spite of what's going on around us. All right, that's it for today. Longer podcast. If you've stuck with me all this time, thank you very much. I hope it's been helpful, and we will talk to you next time. Take care, everybody. God bless.